Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Opinion Line on Cork's 96 FM.
The big story in the news is this report from CAMHS in Kerry. Now, we've talked, I don't know how many times on the programme, about child and adult mental health services, better known, or child and adolescent mental health services, better known to you and me as CAMHS. And it's got a huge number of branches around the country, 70 different branches of CAMHS around the country. But a report has come out, a damning report has come out about the over-prescribing of drugs to children in a CAMHS unit in Kerry. And it was all done by one doctor. And the report that came out, many people are very, very angry about the contents of that report. Some people are saying that it should be handed to the Gardaí now because of what is contained within it. And while some of the parents whose story is told in that report are saying, come here, it can't end here. It's not enough now to tell us what happened and who did it. We need something to be done about it. I've been speaking with Morris.
Morris, your boy is one of the children affected by this. And tell me about him. Tell me what happened. How did he come to be involved with CAMHS in the first place?
Basically, what happened was that when Jason started to walk and talk, he was banging his head off walls. And he had, he'd see no danger. He was hyper. So we got in contact with a crowd called the Early Intervention Team in Killarney.
Yeah.
Now, that's when he was about 2.5, 3 years of age. Now, and he was with them until the age of 6. Now, they stopped seeing children at the age of 6, and CAMHS take over. So CAMHS then diagnosed him with ADHD. And that's how he became a member of the CAMHS. And the reason that I know so much about it is because I have 3 children besides Jason that were with CAMHS for nearly 20 years. So I know the kind of running of it.
I see. So when he got the diagnosis, or you were given the diagnosis, was it at that point that they began to medicate him?
At that point, they started to medicate him with a drug called Equizum, first of all.
Right.
And he was on, I think it was 20 milligrams of Equizum at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that done good for about maybe 2, maybe 3 months.
And tell me, what effect would that have on him then?
Well, basically, if anybody knows ADHD children or anything about it, well, we can process one thought at a time. Hmm. Every thought they have, another 10 jumps in on top of it.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a jumble in their brain.
Yeah, yeah.
And with the medication, it's supposed to calm down the brain and let them process one thing at a time. So that's why the medication was there. Now, we done that for about 2, maybe 3 months. And then that started to kind of wear off him. So then they tried him on Concerta. which is the same type of drug, but a little bit stronger. And then they tried him on Medikinet. And then we found that Medikinet, you see, prescribing these drugs for children is, as one doctor said to me, it's trial and error, right? Because some drugs work on some children, other drugs work on other children. So it's kind of trial and error to see.
And Maurice, you understood that when you were told it, like that something, the hope is that something will work properly and he'll settle with that. You were okay
yes.
with yeah.
I was okay with that because I had already three boys gone through the system already. So I was kind of all right with that. And then I suppose what flagged me with this doctor is that, first of all, his age, right? Because the first time I met him, I said, look, Doc, I'm too very young. And he says, I may be young, but I know what I'm doing.
Sorry, was it the same doctor all the time?
No. The doctor that we were dealing with with Jason, first of all, left.
Hmm.
And then we had a second doctor who only lasted a couple of months. And then we had a third doctor who only lasted a couple of months. And they kept changing doctors all the time. So you didn't know where you were with them.
Yeah.
Right? So then I think it was 2016 that this doctor came in. And I walked into the room and something did not sit right with me at the time. Why is there not a social worker here in the room with us? Because when I had my other three boys, that was common practice.
Hmm.
So we just continued, and every visit then we had, Jason was getting hyper and not concentrating in school. So then he turned around and he said to me, he says, I'm going to put him on Concerta as well as Medikinet. And I questioned this because I said to the doctor, I said, look, I said, Concerta and Medikinet, why are you giving them both of them when the two tablets do the exact same thing? So he turned around and he said to me, the reason I'm doing it, he said, is because one is fast release in the morning and the other one is slow release in the afternoon.
Okay.
So that was plausible. Right? No, I've never heard of it before. As I said, I've gone through the system before, but I've never heard of a child being on two medications.
Right. But you were prepared to give it a go.
I was prepared to give it a go on his word. Do you know? So, and it kind of made sense to me because in the morning when he took his Medikinet, take his Concerta in the morning, he was mellow. Do you know what I mean? Like, and then in the afternoon, it would wear off and he'd get hyper all the time inside school, which they couldn't handle him. So it made sense then to me.
Yeah. What age was he at this stage?
Jason would have been about 11 or 12. About 11 years of age. But he was on the Equizum Concerta, then Medikinet. Then he was on the Medikinet and Concerta together.
So this had been going on for a number of years?
Yes, right, this has been going on for a number of years with this particular doctor.
And you began to notice particular changes in his behaviour?
Yeah, the first thing I noticed was his lack of sleep. That's the first thing I noticed. And I brought it to the attention of the doctor the next time I was up there. And he prescribed a thing called Menitona, which relaxes the mind to go to sleep. You can buy it in the chemist.
Yeah, melatonin, I think they call it. Yes, right. Yeah.
Yeah, so he gave him that to calm down him by night. So that went on for a while. And now you're talking about all
and these did it work? Did the melatonin work?
It didn't work at all. No, I stopped giving it to him after three nights. You know what I mean? But, I mean, like, you have to remember now that these visits were between 6 months and maybe a year before you'd actually get a visit from CAMHS. Right? So you're talking about a 6 month, maybe to a 9 month period while he's been on these tablets before you'd actually get another appointment.
I see. I see.
Right. So this went on anyway. And we went up for a visit. I think it was 2019 or 2018. We went up for a visit, 2018, 2019. And he turned around and the doctor said to me, "Mr. O'Connell, I think your son has autism."
Okay.
Right. So I turned around and I said to the doctor, I said, "Listen now," I said, "as far as I know, CAMs do not deal with autism."
You're quite right. They do not.
So I turned around and I said, "That means that he will have to go to a multidisciplinary team." And he said, "Yeah." And I said, "Okay, will you set that up?" And he said, "I will." So he said, "In the meantime, that I will prescribe this drug for him." And I said, "What is the drug?" And he said it was risperidone, right? So I've never heard of this drug before. So we were talking and I said, "What exactly does this do?" And he turned around, he says, "Well, this helps with ADHD, right?" So I took his word for it. So I said, "So he's going to be on 3 medications now." And he says, "Yeah, we'll try it for a month." So we tried it anyway, and I started noticing that he was stuck to the fridge. You know, like eating constantly. Then I found that he wasn't smiling like he used to smile. And little things like that. Then depression. Then waking up in the middle of the night with nightmares. So I brought all this to the attention. On the next video, you're talking about now another 6 months of a visit. So we brought him back anyway. And the next thing was I said it to the doctor, but I had also looked it up online. What the risperidone was for. So I went into the chemist in my hometown, and fair play to the pharmacy, he questioned me. He turned around, he says, "Morris, are you sure that your child should be on this?" And I said, "What do you mean?" And he turned around and he said, "Do you realize that this is for schizophrenia, bipolar and severe autism?" He says, "It's an antipsychotic drug." So I nearly fell on the floor when I heard that. So I came home and double checked on the internet, and that's exactly what it was. So I went, rang CAMS, and he said, "I'll give you a visit in 4 weeks." So in the meantime, my pharmacy actually rang the doctor to make sure he didn't make a mistake on the drug. And the doctor told him, "No, he made no mistake on the drug, to give out this drug to my child."
How was Jason's personality? I think he said it was changing all the time here. Like,
yeah, it changed completely. Whereas he was an outgoing kid, he'd go to the beach with us, he'd go on car rides with us, he'd do everything with us. And then he started changing, because his weight was getting heavier and heavier. His depression was...
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Getting worse. His anxiety was through the roof. He wouldn't go to the beach and take off his top because he was afraid people were looking at him. He wouldn't go into the shops because he was nervous of people around him. And this is from a bubbly child.
Yeah. And he used to talk to you about it, Morris, didn't he? Did he ask you to take him off the tablets?
Yes. He turned around and he said to me on a few occasions, Dad, can you please not give me the tablets? Because my mind isn't right and I feel sick. That's exactly what he taught me. It's heart-wrenching. Do you know, because you're trying to balance the good with the bad. I thought I was doing him good.
Yeah.
By the recommendations of the doctor.
Yeah.
And I was telling him that this was for his own good.
I know.
Do you know, that he needed an education, that he needed to be in school. He needed to learn and not be expelled all the time.
You must have been very worried yourself, Morris, were you?
Well, once I heard that, I was very worried. I was very worried about Jason and his health. And even though he's still off the tablets, I'm still worried about the effect that it still has on him.
Yeah. Yeah. How old is he now?
He's 14 now.
Okay. And how long is he off the risperidone?
He's off the risperidone April.
Right. And has he other meds at the moment?
No, he's no meds at all.
None at all. And how is he now in himself?
He's not great. I mean, this risperidone, it repressed his emotions. And basically what's happening with Jason is that he didn't know what's right or wrong, basically, because I feel that this medication has brought him back a few years because he can't show his emotions anymore. But it's only now his emotions are coming out.
I know.
Like the crying, the anger, do you know what I mean? Like the depression, the anxiety.
That's very hard to deal with when you're 14.
And the other thing about it too is that because of his weight, he's been bullied.
Oh.
And then he's reacting badly, not in the way a normal 14-year-old would do, but he would react in inappropriate ways, and people can't understand that.
I know. And Morris, when you see the report that has now come out, which confirms that this level of medication was being given out to not just Jason, but to other kids. How does that make you feel?
Well, to tell you the truth, I was absolutely bawling when I heard that there was no extreme or catastrophic harm.
Yeah.
No, that's in the report. No, I mean, like, from a medical point of view, they might not be for them. But if they spend 1 week or 2 weeks with the families and live their lives, they'd know what catastrophic is. Yes, there's no arms, there's no legs missing. But their mental health is paramount here. And this is one thing that I don't see in the report, is what the medication has actually done for their mental health. And this is why I say, and other families, I mean, like, there's mothers that I've talked to, they're crying today over this report because they are guilty. They feel guilty of what they done to their children. Like, I feel guilty for what I done to my child.
But you were only doing what the doctor told you to do, Morris.
But that still does not stop your guilt.
Yeah.
Do you know, like, it's because your first job as a parent is to protect your children from all harm. But you'd never expect it, the harm to come from a doctor.
Mm.
And then you have down the page, or the next page to this, that this doctor meant no harm, and that he'd do it again. And on top of that, the supervisors of this doctor should have flagged this ages ago.
Yeah, I think you're very critical of the fact that it wasn't picked up. No one seemed to be monitoring what was going on. Or at least that's how it appears.
That's exactly what it says. Do you know what I mean? So, I mean, like, it's fine and well to make this fella a scapegoat. He's 80% responsible for what he'd done. But the other 20% has to go to the supervision. Whoever's in charge of him, they are culpable as well for what he done. And there's no doubt in that mind. But I can tell you, PJ, the day I was called in, I was rang on a Friday by the doctor.
This is the doctor then who, if you like, blew the whistle.
Yes, this is the doctor that blew the whistle. And he said, will you bring Jason with you? And I said, I will. So, and I brought my daughter as well. She's in UCC and she would know better than I would.
Okay.
A lot of the words that the doctor would say, right? So the next minute he said, Mr. O'Connell, I have bad news for you. And he turned around, he says, your son has been over-medicated. Well, I nearly went through the floor. I said, what do you mean that he's been over-medicated? He said he should have never been put on these type of drugs.
Yeah.
So the next thing anyway, my son turned around and says, doctor, can I ask you a question? And the doctor said, do. And Jason turned around and said to him, am I going to die now?
Oh, God.
Right? That was his exact question to the doctor. Am I going to die now? And the doctor said no.
And how did it feel to you sitting next to your son knowing that this was going through his mind?
Well, first of all, I was going to break down in tears, but then I couldn't because of I had to stay strong for Jason himself. Because of exactly what he just said. Myself and my daughter had to reassure Jason that he wasn't going to die.
Yeah.
And once he heard that from us, he was happy about that.
Yeah. The whole experience, Morris, has led you to... am I right in saying you yourself were in the industrial school system, so you know a bit about state institutions?
Well, I mean, like, the first thing that comes to mind, right? Yes, I was in industrial school in Tralee called Nazareth House. And we believe we were clinically tried as well. Do you know, with the formulas back in 1968 and before that, when they were first coming out, that they were tried on the children.
Mm.
And I know we used to get injections that nobody knew why we were getting injections. You know? So that's the first thing that kind of came to mind. Was Jason used like I was? And do you know something? Time may have changed, but the system hasn't.
Yeah.
Under a different name. That's all that has changed in all these years is the name. The same abuse of children is still going on.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Now that the report is out and now that everybody's talking about it, and the Taoiseach, I think, has said that it's time to review the workings of CAMHS all over the country, and indeed, you know, I've taken many calls on the programme from parents whose children were involved with CAMHS, some very good experiences, some not so good. Do you think at least it's time to look at the institution and make changes?
Well, I mean, like... This is the only bad experience that I've had with cams in 20 years. And I will say that. Do you know, because I mean, like, I can't paint every one of them up there as bad.
No, and in fairness to you, you've been saying that. This is just one individual, one doctor.
But exactly.
But the implications of that doctor's work for your boy were...
were catastrophic, to use the words in the report.
Yeah.
Do you know? And this is my point. I've often heard the secretaries over talking up there, saying that they were understaffed, under-resourced, they weren't getting enough of help, and this is the outcome of it. 1,500 children over-medicated by one junior doctor. But that still begs the question, why was he not supervised by the bosses? It says there in the report that the man did not know his job, or words to that effect. Now, PJ, if you did not know your job, would you be on the radio?
No.
Exactly.
Do you believe that people need to be answerable for this, that it shouldn't end with this report?
No, it shouldn't end with this report, and it shouldn't end with that doctor either. This should go all the way to the top of the HSC and to the mental health services. And bringing this, and I know they're saying that this doctor is independent, right? But I believe a public inquiry has to come out here, and I'm calling on Stephen Donnelly to bring out a public apology, or not a public inquiry into this, because I still feel that this report, I believe they're backing their own people again. That's my opinion.
Yeah. So what, now that the report is out, and to finish up with you, Maurice, now that the report is out, and now that the Taoiseach has said we need to look further into CAMHS, what should happen, do you think?
I think, first of all, is that the Taoiseach neglected to give an apology to the children. That's the first thing that should have been given there. Stephen Donnelly should have apologised. So should the Taoiseach. That's the first thing I would say.
Yeah.
The second thing I would say, the HSC have already apologised. But as you know, and I know, with the HSC and the government, this will be like the industrial schools. They'll drag it on now for the next 10 years before they'll do anything about it. And I'm calling on the government and the HSC to give us peace now and let us get the resources that we need for our children.
There's a lot more to be done rather than just publishing this report, Maurice, is I think what you're saying. I wish you well. I wish Jason well. And thank you for speaking with me today.
No problem, PJ. Thank you for listening to me.
Cork's 96 FM.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.